sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Fold your hands. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths. Turn our minds to your wisdom and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Well, you may be seated. We have during coffee hour, we'll get the rest. We'll shake you down again. Okay. Off to Sunday school, please.
Our first reading is from Amos 8, 4 through 7. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to the ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 113 responsively. Alleluia, give praise, your servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high. The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust and lifts up the poor from the ashes. The Lord makes the woman of a childless house to be a joyful mother of children. Alleluia. Reading 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what I will do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful to what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The CEO, who had it reported to him that the vice president of financial resources had been badly managing the company affairs. So the CEO called her and said, "Your performance is not at all up to par with what I expect from this company, and I also suspect that you have been fraudulent. Turn in your records and your keys and clear out of your office by 5 p.m. tonight." Well, the vice president was panicked. She thought she was too old to look for another job. She was too young to retire, and she was too proud to apply for unemployment. What was she to do? And then she had an inspiration. She looked over the accounts receivable, and she chose the three customers that had been the most behind on their payments. She called the first one. "Hey, Tom, we've been looking over your account, and we are really eager to get this debt off of our books. Tell you what, if you can pay by the end of this month, we will cut your payment by 25%. To the second, she said, "We're doing an internal audit, and we found a few errors. What does it say on your records that you owe us? $47,000? No, our records show that you owe $40,000. And then she called the third company, and she informed them that there had been a shipping error and that the payment due was about a third less than what was originally billed. And at the close of each of those conversations, the soon-to-be-fired vice president ended with the statement that she was planning to leave her current position in the future, and she hoped that these companies would keep her in mind. The end of the day, she cleared out her office, and she walked out the door with no health insurance, a big cut to her pension, a measly sum for severance pay, and a big smile on her face. Within a month, she was hired by all three companies as a consultant, the companies that she had called that day. The next time she saw her boss, several months later, at the yacht club, she thought she would ignore him and kind of tried to slip out, but he caught up with her, clapped her on the shoulder, and said, "Well played. I've got to hand it to you. You really know how to do business, and I'm pretty sure that I couldn't have come up with a scheme that was better than that." And Jesus said, according to the translation from Eugene Peterson, "Now, here's a surprise. The master praised the crooked manager. And why? Because he knew how to look after himself. Streetwise people are smarter in this regard than law-abiding citizens. They are on constant alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits. I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right, using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival, to concentrate your attention on the bare essentials, so you'll live, really live, and not complacency, just getting by on good behavior." Well, every commentary that I read this week, looking for help in preaching this parable, said that this parable in all of Luke's gospel, in fact, in all of the gospels, is probably the hardest parable to understand. In fact, one commentator said, "Do not try this at home. Professionals are needed." This parable makes us scratch our heads. It stretches our ethical sensibilities. Would anyone congratulate a scoundrel who first mismanaged his employer's funds and then even cheated him out of funds that he was to receive, legitimate debts? Is Jesus holding up such unscrupulous dealings as exemplary? Is that the kind of person that Jesus is saying that we should be? Well, maybe the characters of the steward and the master in this parable do not represent God's people and God. Imagine instead Jesus is making an ironic comparison. Look at the scoundrels who spend their time and energy scheming to ensure their own comfort and security. If only my followers would be that shrewd, that creatively reckless, that single-minded in serving me. If Christians were as intent on their Christianity as these folks were on their dubious business, it would be a vastly different world. If we spent as much time trying to improve our relationship with God as we do in trying to improve our golf handicap or grow better roses, we would indeed be better people. This passage also gives us a very well-known motto: you cannot serve both God and wealth. That's a motto consistent with the teaching of the Hebrew prophets throughout the Old Testament, and Jesus warned against worshiping wealth, but he invites its use in generosity towards others. And in fact, he suggests that accounting for that will be kept when a day when money is of no use at all. Look, Jesus says, here's the deal. You've been given all the resources that you need, not just for your own use, but to share. If you are faithful and generous, you will have a place in this body of mine. Use faithfully what you have, whether little or much. Most of us this week will not christen a ship, write a book, end a war, appoint a cabinet, dine with the queen, convert a nation, or be burned at the stake. More likely, this week will present no more than a chance to give a cup of water, to write a note, to visit a nursing home, to teach Sunday school or attend a Bible study, to share a meal, to tell a story to a child, to go to choir practice, to feed the neighbor's cat. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. In this parable, Jesus invites us to look at our relationship with money, be that a little or be that a lot. How do we use our money for the good of others? Do we put first things first? Yes, this is a difficult parable to understand, and it might make us squirm a little, but there is good news here. The good news is that everything we have is a gift from God, from the God who loves us very much, from the God who calls us to be his children, from the God who calls us to be his hands in work on this earth. Amen.